I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 2, verse 10. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of assembling together as your people, and then, Lord, being reminded where two or more are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. We ask for the blessing of the filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and that our lives would be drawn closer to you, to one another, and that we might truly be the light and the salt of the world that you've called us to be. Bless each one, Lord, for being here. Bless those that we're praying for salvation. May you do your work, Lord, in and through our lives to your honor and glory and our blessing. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Amen. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Or we could also call this a message of great joy from God. A message of great joy from God. Well, what does that mean? Well, to those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the hope of eternal life. Amen? Not "I hope so" type of a hope, but an assured hope that gives us something that we look forward to. Amen? So if we've never put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it begins right there, realizing that God did not send his Son to condemn the world. We're already condemned. We already know that we're sinners. We need a Redeemer. Amen? A Savior to save us from our sins that have separated us from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the simple gospel plan is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, lived a life, amen, that we could not live, died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for our sins, and rose again to give us a new life in him and a great hope of eternal life in heaven. But then for those of us who do know the Lord Jesus Christ, the great joy is that we are the recipients of that life, amen? And that we can walk and enjoy, and God wants to use us to be the light and the salt of the world. Three thoughts that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at God's will, God's plan, and God's revelation substantiated. That'll be the last thought. But as we consider our story here, we'll look at and we'll notice that Caesar Augustus was taxing the world. And Mary was given the plan of God, was she not? And here's what she said. When the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "Listen, God is going to give you a son." She said, "How's that going to happen, seeing that I know not a man?" And he told her that the Holy Ghost, see, because he couldn't have been born by an earthly father, because the seed of man is contaminated and marred with sin. And so that's why we just pass the sin nature on to our children. And that's why he had to be born, not of an earthly father, but of the Holy Spirit that would cause him to be holy and separated and righteous before all of mankind and God himself, and then he would be able to live the perfect life, and he did, and he was able to pay the sacrifice for our sins, and he did. Amen. He shed his blood, he died, and he rose again from the grave. And Mary said, "Be it here, behold thine handmaid," she said. He said, "Be it unto me," she did, "according to thy will." Wow, she was somebody that was not known. She was of the lineage that God said she would be from. And God came to her and said, "Listen, I'm going to bring forth the Son of God through you." And she said, "Be it unto me according to thy will." Amen? Listen, that ought to be our heart's desire. God has a will for each and every one of our lives. And he purposed it. Here's the wonderful thought. Before we ever existed, before we were ever created, Jeremiah said, before he was born, speaking of God, he said that he knew him. Amen? What an amazing blessing. That gives the child of God an understanding that we don't have as people that don't know the Lord. I didn't know it before I got saved. And now as I read the Word of God, I understand that God had a plan and a purpose for every child of God.
beginning with salvation, and then that we might enjoy the will of God being carried out in our lives. All we have to do is simply say, Lord, I trust you. I want to receive what you've already promised. Amen. I want you to do this work. So I want you to consider the timing of Caesar Augustus's taxing. It does not interfere with the will of God, but it does reveal that God has seen the will of man in his foreknowledge and has interwoven his will to reveal that God is in complete control. Fathom this. It was God's plan that Caesar, he saw it already, would do this taxing, and he saw to it because they were all going to be called back to their homes because the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was to be born in Bethlehem. And they were not in Bethlehem, but that event brought them into Bethlehem to fulfill the will and word of God exactly as God said it would take place. Isn't that amazing? God is in complete control, and he's given to all humanity the freedom to choose this day whom they will serve. They don't have to serve. God does not make anybody serve. By the way, he doesn't make his children to serve either. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And if you'll remember, he did say that to the people of Israel, didn't he? Under the leadership of Joshua. In fact, Joshua was the one that said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And they said, we will serve the Lord our God. Amen. And may that be our heart's desire as well. So let's consider this will of God. And we find God's place for worldly events. Question, does the Lord work out everything for our good and his glory? Does he work out all things for his glory and our good? All things? So sometimes we can look at this. Remember, Mary was on board and she said, I am willing to follow your will. I want your will to take place in my life. And so notice what happens here. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. And if you didn't know, he was not a godly individual, that all the world should be taxed. Now, he was not doing this for the glory of God. He was doing this for the benefit of his kingdom and his rulership. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And notice, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So here as we consider this, we find that there is a place for worldly events to take place, and yet God is in control. In fact, listen, is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does that mean that all the worldly events that are taking place, God has foreseen those and allowed those? And I don't understand it. I'll be the first one to tell you that he would receive the honor and the glory through it. Hey, listen, I don't understand World War II and Hitler. I don't understand the killing of over 6 million Jews. I don't understand it. But I do know that shortly after World War II, Israel was not a nation, but became a nation in 1948. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that Jesus could not come back until Israel was a nation because Israel was coming back to his people, the Jewish people, in Jerusalem? And God brought that to pass and kept it and is still keeping it all the way since 1948. For almost 2,000 years, or a little over 2,000 years, Israel was non-existent since 70 AD. Isn't that amazing? And yet God called them back into existence and pulled them back into that area. So here's Caesar Augustus and his decree, and all are going to be taxed. And now we're going to move over to notice God's work really through his humble people. But we'll notice also the importance of understanding God's delegated authority. Even Caesar Augustus, God had allowed him. And by the way, God tells us to be honorable to all who are in authority, right? That we're to be upstanding citizens. We're not to be law defiers. We're to be law upholders. We're to be those that have a good reputation. So what takes place here? Verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So both Mary and Joseph were both ancestors or part of the lineage of David, and this was prerequisite really for the Messiah. So notice, if Joseph would have said, I'm not going to be taxed, I'm going to rebel against that, why, he wouldn't be and Mary wouldn't be in the right place at the right time for the Son of God to be born. Isn't that amazing? And so they humbly submitted themselves to God's delegated authority. And by the way, remember, in the book of Romans, when Paul said that we ought to pray for the kings and we ought to pray for those who are in leadership position, Nero was the one that was in control. And Nero was using Christians to light up his gardens as torches. And so even during that time, he said, listen, God is in control even when things don't make sense. Question, was God in control when Job's life was turned upside down? And now listen, I'm not finding fault. I understand the heart of Job's wife when she said, curse God and die. She was hurting. She was hurting. And what did Job say to her? Now you speak as one of the silly women, that foolish women that don't know the Lord. Now you have forgotten. And so he really brought her back into understanding. And did God bless her again? Amen. With 10 more children. And some people say, well, I don't know if that was a blessing. It was. It was a blessing. Mark it down. It was a blessing. And she was happy to have those children. And not only that, but the assurance, and she knows it today, that those 10 children were before the presence of God. And not only them, but the new 10 that were with them. They're all together now. And one day we'll see that. One day. And so we thank the Lord for his grace and for really his omniscient control over everything. That gives us confidence. So they go up, and they're of the household and lineage of David. Look at verse 5, the reason for it. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now listen, that was not an easy trip. I mean, really, if a woman is just about ready to give birth, you don't even want to go to St. Louis. You want to be right where you need to be. So when it's time, you go right to the hospital, right? Well, listen, they didn't do that in those days, did they? But she took a trip. My goodness, she took a lot. But listen, what was the confidence? God was in control. She was not going to have the baby on the way. You know why? They needed to be in Bethlehem. Amen? They needed to be in Bethlehem. And I am convinced, listen, the Lord was in complete control and gave them that assurance and that understanding that everything is going to take place. God is, by the way, she was miraculously given the Son of God, was she not? And so if God was the one that blessed her with the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would he not see to it that he would be born in the right place and the right time? And so absolutely he was in control. And I'm convinced that both Mary and Joseph were given that confidence. You and I, listen, God doesn't just give us a faith in something that we can't hold on to. God gives us a faith because he reveals to us truths, and then he substantiates that faith by working and revealing in our lives, everyday lives, his great grace and power, so that we have a confidence that the world doesn't have. We don't just believe in something. Listen, do you know that you have eternal life? Yes. Amen. Can anybody tell you you're not saved if you're saved? No, they can't do that, because God gave you something that nobody can take away. And listen, God wants to continue to give us, to substantiate our faith, things that nobody can take away. Because God wants us to look to him and no one else. God wants our confidence to be in him and in nothing else. And so God is working in their lives. They're excited. In fact, if you'll remember the story, in the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph was like, man, what am I going to do? My espoused wife is expecting a baby, and I love her, and I'm not willing to make her a public example. So he's moving, he's working, he's thinking, whatever's happened here has broken our relationship. I love her, but I can't marry her because I have a commitment to the Lord that I'm going to walk upright before him. And obviously Mary has misstepped here, and she's fallen into sin, and now she's expecting a baby, and I have to put her away because this is the way God would have it. But what happens? God comes to him by the angel and telling him, hey, listen, that which is conceived by Mary is of God. Amen? Don't be afraid to take her. And he took her as his wife, but did not know her until after Jesus was born. He says, I'm going to wait and be faithful to God because I believe. And listen, God gave him that confirmation and that confidence that was taking place from the Lord. If he didn't believe that, he would have still sought to put her away privately. But God gave him something that substantiated his faith in what he was doing, not only in Mary's life, but in his life as well. And that's why he was faithful to follow. And so as we consider this, God works through humble servants. Notice verse 6. Notice what it says here. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Of course, speaking of Mary. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary didn't say, you know what, I'm giving up on the Lord if this is the best God's got for me. But that's not what she thought, was it? You know why? Because the best that God has for us is not in the material realm. She could see the things of God of being of greater value, just like Moses saw that the riches and the wealth of this world were not to be compared to the things of God. And that's why Moses, God commended him and said great things, but Jesus and God are the greater value of things of this world. There's nothing to be compared to. We will never be wrong, and we will never be... Someone once said, you're no fool to give up that which you can't keep to gain that which you can't lose. And that is a relationship with God, beginning with salvation. And so we praise the Lord for that. And so God is working through them. Listen, they weren't willing to give up on the Lord no matter where God led them. See, is God in control of our lives? Did he say, I hold you in my hand and no man can take you out? Yes. Is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. Boy, may God solidify that in our hearts and minds that we might walk upright before him. So let's consider God's plan here. Look at verse 8 with me. And we move to God's plan here and we find this revelation to faithful shepherds. Look at verse 8. And there were in the same country, in the same place there, Bethlehem, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, you know what God does? God reveals things to those who are seeking him. I am convinced these shepherds had a relationship with the Lord. Don't you believe that? He didn't go to the scribes. He didn't go to the Pharisees. He didn't go to the Sadducees. He didn't go to the kings, did he? He went to the lowly shepherds. Why? Because they were looking for the promises of God. Do you know that if you and I look for the promises of God, if we seek God, we'll what? We'll find him. The saying is still true. Wise people still seek the Lord. Amen? And God still does. God, can God show us anything? Yes. Do we know half of anything, everything? No, we don't even know one fourth of it. And yet, consider this: we don't know half of everything there is to know in this world. And God surpasses everything of creation an infinite times. Amen. I mean, you can't even put a number on that. And so God can maybe humbly walk before God, the God of all gods. There's only one God, one creator, but the God who spoke everything into being that wants to have communion with us, that wants to fellowship with us. Isn't that amazing? He is seeking us out and he says, all you have to do is follow me and I'll show you the way. Isn't that amazing? So he's working with them. He says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now that's rightly so. The presence of God, I'm sure, awed them, wouldn't you say? In fact, you remember the three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration? They were afraid also when they heard the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved son, hear him. And Jesus had to say, don't be afraid. Because we don't understand the presence of God. But these shepherds received a revelation. These people of God that were following the Lord, God gave them something. May I ask you, do you think they ever forgot that? Do you think they talked about that more than once, telling other people, man, you should have seen the night they showed up. I didn't know what to do. Amen? So what happens here? They're excited. They're seeing what's going on. In fact, in this place, they're sore afraid. And notice what it says here. As the angel is there in their presence, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, this is a personal witness, is it not? The angel is speaking to them specifically. Do you know that God wants to speak to us specifically? Do you know that God wants us, as we open up his word and as we pray and seek him, do you know God wants to show us things in his word that are personal to us that we can take away, saying, God has revealed this to me? We're not getting a new revelation. We're just getting a revelation of understanding of what God has already said and wants to apply into our lives. And so he says this, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. Isn't that amazing? God says, I'm giving you a personal revelation that's going to bless the whole world. Isn't that amazing? Listen, do you know that God wants to give you and I personal revelations that will affect everybody in our world? Because it changes us. It works in us mightily that people begin to say, you are not the same. If they know you, and if they don't know you, they'll say this, there is something different. And that difference is not us turning over a new leaf. It is God working in our lives and manifesting himself in such a way that people are seeing that he has given to us something that the world is missing. Amen? That is the witness of God. Listen, did he give these shepherds something that nobody else got? Absolutely. God is wanting to give his people, all of his people, things that the world does not have. And that is more of an understanding of the gift of eternal life so that the world may also want it. By the way, that's the whole story here. From beginning to end, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, it's all about eternal life. It's all about a relationship with God. It's not about a religious practice. It's not about faithfulness to God. It's about God's faithfulness to us that in turn, we love him because he first loved us. And that's how God works. He says, I want to give you something. I want to show you something. When Jesus Christ revealed to you through the Holy Spirit your need of salvation, and you trusted him as your Savior, didn't you love him like you never loved him before? Amen. See, I believed in God, but I didn't know him. I didn't even know about loving God. I didn't even know I was supposed to love God until he saved me. And then I couldn't do anything but love him. I didn't have that before. And then God wants to do that work. And by the way, that's Christmas for us as the believer. Salvation is Christmas for the unbeliever, amen, if they'll trust Christ. So he says, I want you to know there's great joy. Why? Because verse 11, it's going to be to all people, for unto you, these are the shepherds, unto us, the children of God, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know what they were saying? The angel was saying, God is fulfilling his promise that he's given to you. To us, God has already done that. Praise the Lord. And God's already done that. We're not waiting for anything. He has given to us everything that he has promised. We get to walk in a different dispensation than they did. We get to walk in all these things being fulfilled. We're looking for his return, his soon return. So he says, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so they're excited about this here. And this is God's personal and universal revelation. He's saying, I want you to know it's to you personally, but it's for everybody. Isn't that something? What a great God. To the Jew first and then to the whole world. He called out Abraham. Remember Abram? And then he gave him the covenant, Abraham. And he says, I'm not forsaking my people. Did God ever forsake his people? No. When they were in Egypt, they may have felt like they were forsaken, but God never forgot them. It was part of his plan. Listen, let's give God the latitude to work outside of our thinking. We're just humble servants. Listen, there are sometimes things God allows things for his glory and our good that we don't understand. If we'll get on board with that, Lord, you do things. May I be faithful to you in spite of what others might do to me or circumstances or situations. It troubles me. It saddens me. It worries me, really concerns me that there are people that say, I used to serve God. I served God for 15, 20 years. No more. No more. I don't understand that. It frightens me. Lord, I want to be found faithful. I'm afraid. And here's what they always say. Somebody did something. Somebody did something. You know what the first thought pops in my mind? First thought, they didn't die for me. My loyalty is to the one who died for me. By the grace of God, may I tell you, I'm not confident in myself. I'm just flesh and blood. I can fall apart. I can. But God, may you allow me to stand faithful because you're the one that died for me. May I not look to myself? That's dangerous grounds. That'll cause you to do crazy things that don't line up with the Word of God, and you can excuse yourself. Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers. And do you think they thought they were right in doing so? They never told their dad. They never told their dad what they had done until Joseph appeared before them. I don't want to be in those shoes. How about you? Lord, I want to honor you because you are worthy. I want to walk in your will, in your way, by your grace. I need your grace, God. How often? All the time, every day. Because I am one step away from doing things my way. And my way is not God's way. Let me say that again. My way is not God's way. It's only God's way. That's the only way. It's not our way. This is what we do. No, what does God say do? That's what's important. And that is a humble servant that says, you know what? I'm not going to trust in me. Who are we going to trust in? Amen. In the Lord. In the Lord. Because we'll mess up if we trust in ourselves. You know what? Listen, we will be offended if we're looking to ourselves. We'll be offended. Have you ever been offended? Have you ever felt you've been done wrong? Who are we looking at when we think we've been done wrong? We're not looking at God, are we? We're not looking at the Lord. And I'm thinking all of us have felt we've been done wrong. Amen? But we're looking in the wrong direction. And the only reason why God is reminding us of that, listen, God is reminding all of us. I'm preaching this message, but I'm hearing this message also. Amen? God does not want me to look to me. If I look to me, I'll be unfaithful to God. That goes for everybody. If we look to ourselves, mark it down, we'll get upset at something or someone or some situation, and we'll start doing things our way, and we'll go away from the Lord. Because God says, follow me. Amen. Not for us to follow ourselves. And so we need to be careful that we're not doing things the way that we think we ought to do them. We ought to do them God's way, and we'll be right where these shepherds are at, and God will be right there wanting to reveal good things, good tidings, amen, good tidings of great joy God wants to give to us. So notice this right here in verse 12. And this shall be a sign. In fact, look at verse 11 again. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We know that's already taken place. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So God gave them a revelation of a promise that's been fulfilled. He gave this to them. Amen. And now, listen, follow this. God is wanting to substantiate that. Make it substantive, if you will. Make it something that gives them stability in that truth, right? Concrete. They want to see it. You know, if somebody called you up on the phone and said, listen, if you'll give me $10,000, I'll give you $1 million worth of gold. Oh, that sounds kind of funny, right? But if somebody came right in front, you wouldn't do that. You know, there's all kinds of scams. But if somebody showed you $1 million of gold and you had a jeweler that you knew and tested that gold and they said, that's real gold, would you buy $1 million worth of gold for $10,000 if you had it? You know, that's what we do when we trust the Lord. There's no losing situation there. But when we go our own way, we can make a bad deal. But when God is guiding, and that's what, listen, God is telling them, I want you to know something. I want you to know what's taking place, and I'm going to solidify this. I'm going to substantiate it. So if we put faith in the things that we think that we don't know about, we can get in trouble. But if we put our faith and trust, same word, in what God has said, will we ever lose? We'll never lose. We'll never lose. So notice this. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign, substantiation. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find, it's not a figment of their imagination, is it? You're going to see this. You know, God says, if you follow me, you're going to see some things. Did he not say that? Yes. You're going to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life if you're walking with me. You're going to see peace when you shouldn't have any. You're going to see joy when you shouldn't have any. You're going to find confidence where you shouldn't have any. You're going to have hope where you wouldn't have any. If you follow me, God says, I'll show you some things. And so notice what's happening here. He says, you're going to find, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, look at this. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Did you get that? There's one angel. He's telling them this. One angel would have been enough, wouldn't it? One angel would have been enough telling me the story. I think we'd be shaking in the presence of the angel because they got the Shekinah glory of God on them. And then all that'd be enough, wouldn't you say? But God says, oh no, I'm going to give you more. So now as this angel gives them the message, they already believed it. God says, now I'm going to light up the sky. I'm going to light up the sky. Why? Because God wants to substantiate, he wants to give us a no-so kind of faith that the world doesn't have. We don't believe in things that are not so. We believe in the promises of God that are so. So notice, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. More confirmation of the angel's word and the promise. So now we find here God's revelation substantiated. That was God's plan. By the way, that's God's plan still in our life to give us revelations confirming his promises that he's given to us in his word. If by faith we'll put our trust in him and go after those things. Last thought here, God's revelation substantiated, God's fruitful faith. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go back to our sheep. They went like this. Is that what they did? I don't think they knew which way to go. I think they were so excited. They're like, wow. They were praising God, weren't they? So notice what happens here. As the angels were gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go, not tomorrow, not next week, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. They didn't even see it. Did they believe the word of God? Amen. Isn't that something? How come they believed the word of God? God did a work in them. God did a work. And by the way, God wants to do a work in us also. That we would not lean to our own understanding, but that we would acknowledge him in how many of our ways? In all of our ways. And so, they said, let us go. In verse 15 in the middle there, let us go. Let us not now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Notice, which the Lord hath made known unto us. God wants to make things known unto us. Amen. Verse 16, and they came with haste. Isn't that good? They had great expectations. There was no doubt. And God will do that in our lives. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just like God said. Do you know if we seek after the things of God, we'll find the things of God? Listen, just like God said. Just like God. If we will seek him. And by the way, prayer is an important part of a believer's life. But I want you to know, prayer is not an easy thing to the flesh. You have to determine. Listen, is 15 minutes too much to give to God? No. Is 30 minutes too much to give to God? I'll just stop right there. I could say an hour, but I won't. Let's just say 30 minutes every day for God. 30 minutes that we might just stop our day and just talk to the Lord. Oh, but you don't understand what I have to do. Then you don't understand what God wants to do. Amen. You don't understand my day. I understand God, and he deserves all of it, to be truthful. But God says, if you will call upon me, God says, I'll answer. Amen. If you display that, if you honor me with your faith that you're willing to stop your day for 15 or 30 minutes, I'll show you something that will make you want more. I will show you, I will do things in your life that you will know are coming from me that will cause you to want to give a time every day of your life to the Lord. Amen. But if you never do that, and if you just, listen, you know, God's honored, Lord, bless my food. He's honored. Thank you for my food. He's honored by that. I'm driving, Lord, you know, I'm busy. I need you. I look at my life, you know, whatever it might be. You know, that's prayer. I'll say that. But there's a difference when we worship God in prayer because he's worthy. That we stop and that we say, first of all, God, thank you for creating me. Amen. Secondly, God, I have an existence because of you. I cannot imagine not having an existence. Can you? But listen, we have an existence. You might say, well, that's kind of crazy. We're here, aren't we? Yeah, we are. But George Washington was here, and he's not here anymore. Now, he knows the Lord. He had a witness of that. And so he's in the presence of God. But he did live because God created him, and so do you and I. And so, Lord, I thank you for a physical existence, but I thank you as much and more that you've given me eternal life. And so I just want to stop and praise you for being God in my life. I want to stop and thank you for saving me. I want to stop and thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and blessing me with my family and blessing me with my friends and blessing me with a church family and using me for your honor and glory. I want to just stop and thank you. Is he worthy? And yet if we're not careful, we get so busy and wrapped up in this little world that's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And what are we giving to the Lord if we're not careful? Listen, I'm sharing this with you, but this is me too. Lord, I don't want to ever go a day without stopping. And it's easy to do, is it not? Get caught up. Not that I didn't talk to the Lord, but I didn't stop my day and just talk to God and say, God, I need you. So notice this. He says, we want to go and see with this which has come to pass. And notice what happens here. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. In fact, look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just like the Lord said. And when they had seen it, notice this, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When God shows us things, we want to tell others. Here's a question. Listen, don't be insulted by this. Are we telling others about what God is showing us? Are we telling others about what God is revealing to us? Or is God limited and can only just show us salvation? No, God has given to us a whole host of promises that he wants to bring to pass in our lives that God will excite us about, that we'll want to tell others about. See, that's how witnessing works. God blesses. I say this, but it can just become so generic. God fills our cup to overflow, and we can regurgitate and repeat. But if God's not doing that, we're not influencing the world. Because God wants to fill our cup with his grace, his peace, his love, and the fruit of the Spirit to where our life is overflowing that we can't wait but tell. Listen, other people, these shepherds, do you think they were excited about the message that they were giving? Notice what happens here. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So who told them the message? The angel did. But then they went and saw it for themselves, and that lit them on fire to tell others. You remember what the Lord told the disciples? When the Holy Spirit shall come unto me, that's when you're going to be witnesses like never before. And that was true, wasn't it? Listen, were they saved, the disciples? Absolutely they were. But God, on the day of Pentecost, empowered the church with the Holy Spirit that he said would be like that until he came back for them. And when the Holy Spirit was upon them, that was God working in them. Or did Peter lead 3,000 souls to... No, God did it. God did it. Amen. Do you know God wants to do a work in our lives? But we've got to be willing vessels for him to do that. Look at verse 18. And all they that heard it, these shepherds, and all they that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Would you say these shepherds were in the presence of the Lord? Amen. They were in the presence of the Lord. And would you say that the presence of the Lord had an effect on their lives? Amen. Do you know the presence of the Lord will have an effect on our lives as well when we tell others about the Lord? Amen. That's how it works. And God wants to do that for us. So they were excited, and these are all wondering at those things which were told them by the shepherds. In verse 18, last two verses here, and notice what happens here. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That was a good thing. She was seeing. She was firsthand witness, but she was getting ready. And God put that in her heart because she would understand that. I don't understand how she understood it other than the Lord helping her when she watched Jesus on the cross. She saw the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross, and she was remembering all these things that she was meditating on concerning what God was doing in her life. Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." See, it's one thing when we hear them, but it's different when we hear and then see God do them.
Amen.
We hear and we see God do them. How does that work? Because we hear and by faith we follow God.
Amen.
You know, we can hear and by not faith, without faith, we won't follow the Lord. It'll just be information. Be a saved child of God and hear the truth and not obey the truth. Were there ever people that were like that? Yeah, there were. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. They didn't have anything to give because they weren't receiving anything of the Lord. God wants us to receive Him. Amen?
Amen.
Not just for eternal life, but for joy unspeakable and full of glory to the child of God. That we might have something to give to a lost and dying world. Listen, that Jesus is not willing that any should perish. So Christmas is important for the believer, is it not? Because we have an opportunity to get more from the Lord that He's already given. And we can never exhaust the Lord. Christmas is for the unbeliever that they might receive the promise of the Son of God. And here's the crazy part. Ready? God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And who is it that He wants to use?
Us.
He wants to use us. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, for the gift of salvation, for sending Your Son to give us eternal life. Lord, may we seek You, Lord. Create in us a hunger and a thirst to seek after You and Your will and Your way, Lord, in our lives. May we not be confident in ourselves. May we put no confidence in the flesh, but solely lean on You and call upon You to guide us to walk in Your ways. And Lord, that we might look to You for confirmation in doing and fulfilling Your will and Your way in our lives. Bless the invitation. Build and bless Northwood Baptist Church and all Your churches, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.